Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. For God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. Amen. And just excited about being here with you on this Thursday afternoon. Praise the Lord. And today I will be sharing from a new message title, amen, but it is still the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Well, let's go before the throne. We can enter boldly and we can come before his presence confidently because we have been presented before him by our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. And this gives us the confidence because of what he has done, his finished work. Lord, God Almighty, Father of heaven and earth, we thank you. We thank you this day. We thank you for the breath that comes from you, that animates our lives this day. We thank you for this day that you have created. There is no other day like it. Amen. We thank you that everything that we need is contained within this day because you are a father who provides for your children. I thank you, Lord God, that your children are able to see in this day all that you have provided for them. I thank you, Lord God, that the weapons formed against them in this day shall not prosper, that they will keep their eyes focused on your dear Son, Christ Jesus. I thank you for this hour. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit moving through these airways, moving through me, moving through the listeners, accomplishing the very thing that your Spirit of truth is speaking in this hour. So I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that I can just remove myself out of the way during this hour and just allow you to just speak through me, to direct me. You know what your children need to hear today. And I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity. I bless your holy name. I thank you that the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. That is your promise. And we receive that and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So today I am going to be speaking from the title, Why is the Church Afraid? This was a question that I've been looking at based on how I'm seeing the church react in this particular season, with all that is going on in the world, and especially what's going on in our country, the United States. Since I'm here in living in the United States, I'm going to speak a lot about what is going on in this country, but there are things going on around the world. There is this spirit of chaos and the spirit of fear and the spirit of division and hatred. All of this stuff is moving through the earth, trying to blind us from seeing the reality that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that is one of the reasons I am trailing behind this question and looking through the scriptures and just asking the Holy Spirit to just reveal to me what I can not only take in for myself, because the transformation process is ongoing. It should be happening every day in our lives. We should be repenting every day in our lives. Our thoughts should be changing, and we should be becoming more and more Christ-like and thinking more and more Christ-like thoughts. Amen. So my scripture for today is 2 Timothy. It's coming out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And we've heard this scripture many a times, but just because we heard it, it doesn't mean that we have become this scripture, that we are actually living out of this truth, that this truth has made us free. So the verse says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Some translations say a sound mind or a disciplined mind. The atmosphere in the world is designed to keep us bound by what happens to us and what happens around us. I'll say that again. The atmosphere of this world is designed to keep us bound by what happens to us and what happens around us. We are told by psychology that we are the product of our environment, that we have inherited traits, and that counseling will sometimes take years to unravel what's beneath our fears and our brokenness. And we have to uncover this to find healing in our lives. And people have been in counseling with psychologists or psychiatrists for years, having minor breakthroughs, but never truly finding healing, never truly finding liberty from what has happened to them and what has happened around them. And this reality, even though it emotionally and mentally it feels real, but it's a false reality that we are born into that blinds us from seeing the truth that came down in the person of Jesus to set the captives free. God Himself entered into our world, taking on the form of man, became the Son of Man, acting as that perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice. He knew no sin. And He broke the curse of sickness and death in our lives through His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. The world system is crashing around us. And the things that we hear and see is enough to leave, to cause us to be shaken. And some of us need to be shaken. Maybe all of us need to be shaken so that what remains is what is unshakable, because we are carrying things that are the product of this world's thinking and reasoning that is leaving us unstable in our faith. We become a part of this unrest and this struggle in the world. And we become like the people of this world, looking for answers outside of God. It's so easy to be tricked into thinking that you're looking for answers in God, because you're doing all the things that we say are godly. You know, we're going to church, we're serving church, we're praying, you know, we're doing all the things. We may fast, we may do all these things that will mask over these doings. Okay, these godly doings that lack power. Because we are actually doing it outside of God. And we're not understanding that that is what we are actually doing. So this is a time of awakening. You know, I did a series about wake up and stay woke. But this is a time for us to wake up. Wake up. We have heard messages that have actually lulled us into a place of complacency because they actually lack the power of real truth, the truth that transforms us, the truth that makes us free. So let's look at the system that I'm living in, which is the United States. And so everyone that's listening to this that lives in the United States, you know what's going on over here. And of course, people in other countries, you've got your own set of issues that are going on in your atmosphere, in your worldly system. Amen. And it may be slightly different from ours or very similar. It could be very similar to ours. But we know those who are saved, we know from the word of God that the source of the evil that we see is from one enemy, and that enemy is Satan. So looking at what's going on in our country right now, people are really, I try, you know, in the beginning I started to follow what was going on in our country after after the elections and we have our new president, President Trump, and just looking at all the things. So, you know, I watched the news just to be aware. But then at some point, you have to just kind of cut yourself. Once you get the basic understanding of what is actually going on, you have to be careful that you do not get so, you know, because the other human tendency is to spend too much time listening to bad news. News that doesn't edify, the news that doesn't build you up, build up your faith, build up your believing. So you have to be careful. And when you're listening, whenever you take the time to listen or read the news, that you have to be in a perspective that God is going to show you how to pray. The Holy Spirit is going to work through you, show you how to pray, to show you what your purpose is in this particular season, in this particular atmosphere that is happening in our country. So what we see going on, what I see going on, is a loss of control of emotions. I mean, emotions are riding high right now in this country. We find disorder, we find disobedience, we find division, we find fear, we find hate and anger, and it doesn't matter what our Constitution says or how many laws and policies are written or rewritten, it does not change the hearts of men. What is truly in a man's heart will always become evident. What is truly in a man's heart, it will always, eventually, he can hide it for a moment, but eventually it will become evident. What has been hidden will be revealed. What I am seeing is the church is losing because we keep trying to save ourselves. This is what the scripture has to say about it. And I chose this verse from Luke, and I also got the same verse, very similar verse, out of Matthew. And this is Jesus speaking. In Luke it says, "If you grasp and cling to life on your own terms, you'll lose it. But if you let that life go, you'll get life on God's terms." And Matthew 10, 38 and 39 says this, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, Jesus also spoke of the fact that we're going to have trials and tribulations. It's something that we will have to face, that things are going to happen. Some things are unexpected. Trials and tribulations. But will we allow those trials and tribulations to stop us from following Christ, or are we going to pick up our cross and follow after him? And no matter what we go through, no matter if it's persecution or prosecution, whatever it is, that we are going to follow after him, that we will not lose faith in who he is and what he has done for us. He laid down his life so that we would have life. Let me just read this, the one from Luke again, because I took this verse out of the Message Bible. "If you grasp and cling to life on your terms, you'll lose it. But if you let that life go, you'll get life on God's terms." And a lot of times, what failure is us trying to cling on to life on our own terms. We won't let go of how we perceive our life should go. And I'll get into a little bit more about that. I have a verse out of, actually is basically a chapter I'm going to read. I'm going to try and move through it as quickly as possible. Amen. But it talks about this whole process of what happened as a result of Jesus coming into the earth and going to the cross, laying down his life, being raised from the dead, amen, and ascending into heaven, and what that has done for us. These are some questions I want you to consider. You may want to write them down and just ask yourself, take a, you know, moment by moment. You might ask yourself this one question a day. You might want to go through a couple of the questions and just ask yourself, and then wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. My first question is, what are we believing in the church that has given way to the works of the enemy that we see in our country? Next question, are we disconnecting ourselves from what we see in our country? And we say, it's them. This is happening because of them. Do we not see this as spiritual warfare in our country? You know, and you can look in the scriptures about what God says about spiritual warfare. Amen? And what is the purpose of the church in the earth? It's all in the Bible. It's all there. Amen. The next question, who would be better equipped to deal with what is happening in our country than the body of Christ, the mighty army of God? Especially since it's a spiritual warfare. And then my question to those who are fighting, are we fighting with the arm of flesh? What does the Bible say about the arm of flesh? Next question. Are we more interested in people conforming or being transformed? And being transformed is a spiritual work of the Holy Spirit. Do we insist that people believe what we believe and yet, consider this, and yet we are believing with an unrenewed mind and a life that is not transformed? The next question connects to this. Are we the same on the inside, the way we think in our emotions, are we the same on the inside before we accepted salvation and just doing something different on the outside? Same on the inside, but we've just changed what we do on the outside, which is our behavior changes. The new covenant. This is the covenant that God made with us through his Son. Ephesians 2 tells us that by grace we have been saved. Not by our own doing, but through faith, through believing. And that is so no man can boast. And we know that man can be very prideful, and we like to boast. And unfortunately, because we like to boast and we can be prideful, which is all traits of the old man that we keep reviving, that prideful spirit, that boastful spirit. And so because we are acting out of those characteristics of the old man, we create spiritual environments where we can boast. We create teachings that make us appear to be together, all together spiritually. We got it going on. We fast, we pray, we do this, we do missions, so that we can boast. But clearly the scripture says that it's a gift from God. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift from God. Righteousness is a gift from God that came through that salvation. Through Jesus Christ, we were clothed in his righteousness. It's the gift, it's a gift, not something you purchased. It's a gift. Our righteousness is a gift from God. We have no righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. We have no righteousness to give. We have no righteousness to present before the Father. Our righteousness comes through Christ Jesus. And the way to manifest it is through believing this truth, believing that by grace we have been saved and that it has nothing to do with us. It is through faith that this is a walk of faith. This is a walk of believing in what Christ Jesus has done, has finished in the earth, the way that he has prepared for us. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But because being in this environment where man likes to boast and set himself apart as though he's better than this group. You know, churches do that. You know, we're the ones that's rightly dividing the words. We're the one that has the truth. And this other church over here is not teaching the truth. It's apostasy. It's heretical. We like to do that. We like to claim that we know and that we have. It's very boastful, very prideful and arrogant to even believe that. There's only one truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. What he has done, what he has spoken, that is the truth. And we have to receive that truth and believe it. And stay in the presence of Jesus and allow this work to happen. So we create these environments where we are learning, ever learning, ever learning, but we're not becoming anything. We're just learning. We're learning and we're doing outward expressions of things, but we're not actually becoming Christ-like. Jesus brought us redemption. He redeemed us. Are we offering redemption to others? Are we considering that some are just unredeemable? Our Messiah bought us forgiveness of sin, not just for those who accepted him, but for all. He came into the world to save the world. He died once for all. He brought abundant life. We don't clearly understand sometimes what this abundant life is, and as a result, we don't experience it because our believing is incorrect. We believe that things that manifest in the natural, things that people who are unsaved people who have not accepted this redemption, they're experiencing the same thing. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So how do we know that we're different from them? Are we known by our love for one another? Or are we known for our divisions and our bickering and our arguments and our debates among each other? This group against that group. Yet we all say we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. But we're arguing, debating, and there's division. And you don't quite have it right. Is that of God? But we like to boast that we're fighting among ourselves because this is the work of God, the labor of God. But what is the fruit of that? The world looks at us. Do they see unity? Do they see love? You mean we can't love people and disagree with them? That we have to be angry and vicious and say terrible things about people to discredit them? Is that love? Well, you can go into Corinthians, that very famous chapter, the love chapter, and find all the characteristics of what love is. God's love, the love that is meant to flow through us, that we are meant to bring and live out in the earth. What brought salvation? God so loved the world. Jesus bought us this righteousness through the fulfillment of the law of God as a man on our behalf, so that God is no longer angry at us, that he destroyed this enmity that was between God and man. Jesus did that for us. He defeated our enemy, Satan, who deceived us from the very beginning. He defeated our enemy. He restored our identity. He restored our position as children of God, as joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That as he is, as Jesus Christ is, so are we in this world. We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. He always causes us to triumph. You have to have the right perspective to see that. You can't see that if you're fearful. And out of that fear comes this anger and this division, envy and this prideful spirit. Jesus has brought us and prepared for us things that the eye has not seen or the ear has heard. We can't even imagine what it is. It has to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And I don't know that we're going to see it completely in the state that we are in. I'm certain that after we receive our glorified bodies, hallelujah, that final part of redemption, that there will be no separation whatsoever. I'm going to read to you now from Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to read the entire chapter, and I'm going to try and read it quickly and not stop too many times. It is such a good chapter, and I would suggest that you go back through it and read it yourself as well, and just meditate on it. Take a verse at a time and just kind of look at that verse. Don't try and consume the whole chapter at once, but just take a piece of it, take a sentence, take a couple of verses, and just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the depth of this, of the truth is being revealed. Amen. This chapter is in the Bible that I'm reading. It has a little title on it. It says "Dead to Sin, Alive to God." So that's the state that we are in now. We are dead to sin, and we are alive to God. This is what Jesus has done. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And so in the following chapter, Paul makes a statement about where sin abounds, much more grace, right? And he is making sure that people don't misinterpret what he's saying, that, okay, now that grace is here, you can just do whatever you want to do, because the whole power of grace is that it has freed us. It has freed us, and if we don't accept that truth and begin to live in it and to bathe ourselves in it and to meditate on it and to just stay in that place with Jesus where this thing, this grace becomes real in our lives, and we just take this little surface understanding because we don't really want to die. We want to continue whatever it is that we think our lives should be. We don't want to lose our lives. We don't want to lose what we think that we should be and what we should have. And as a result, because we don't want to, we take this grace and we use it so that we can continue living like the old man, when in fact he has made us a new creation. It's a lie of the enemy to keep you living in a life of failure, a life of ups and downs, emotional roller coasters. That's the whole idea. Leave you blindsided, leave you blind, keep you captive. Even though you've been made free, he creates this illusion of freedom, but it's actually a jail cell. Let me go on. I'll never get through this chapter. By no means, how can we who died to sin, okay, still live in it? We can't. If we die to sin, we can't still live in it. Do you know that you're dead to sin and you're alive to God? Is that real to you? Or you just can't believe it? Because whatever you believe is how you're going to live. We live out of our faith. We live out of what we believe. What we believe colors our thoughts, our emotions, and our decisions, our actions. Do you believe that you're dead to sin and alive to God? This is a faith walk. By faith, by grace, you have been saved through faith, through believing. Verse 3 says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. This is my question after reading these first four verses. And I don't think I'm going to get through the whole chapter today. Praise God. I thought this was going to be a one-time message, but I may be continuing in this for a little bit. I'm being challenged, and I'm challenging you. I'm being challenged. I'm listening to some messages right now that are challenging me. That are challenging me. And so today I am challenging you. If you think your efforts will produce newness of life, then why do you need Jesus and what he has done? Why did he need to come if we could do it ourselves? Why do we need him if we could do it ourselves? Why did he need to lay his life down, be nailed to the cross, carry our sins, be this perfect sacrifice, one time, so that we would no longer be a prisoner of sin and live in this sin consciousness, always aware of sin? Always believing that we can't get away from it. If we could produce this newness of life, why did we need Jesus to come? Why did he come? Did he just come, even though he knew we could do it, he just came, oh, let me just make this glorious display in the earth. Just to encourage my children to continue to do and to continue to labor toward being righteous and to obeying the law. We don't serve that kind of a God. That sounds very much like the thinking of man. Amen. Amen. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Verse 5 says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We know, do you know? We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Verse 7 says, "For one who has died has been set free from sin." Do you believe your old self was crucified with Christ on that cross? Because if you don't believe it, you'll continue to be a slave to sin. What a pity that would be to live a life continually under the enslavement of sin when you've been made free. Verse 8, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." We believe. That's key. We believe. Now if we have died with Christ, We believe that we will also live with him. Not in the by and by, but live with him right now. right now. Verse 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. This is the one who lives on the inside of us. Death no longer has dominion over him. This is the one that lives on the inside of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Are we living to God? Or are we living to ourselves? But we want God to do things for us while we continue to live to ourselves, while we continue to live the life that we want to live. But we want God to help us out of our troubles, heal our bodies, heal our family members, save our family members. But yet we continue to live the life that we want to live. Not believing. That sin no longer has dominion. That the old man died with him on the cross that day. Jesus. Verse 11 says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. How many of us are considering ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus? That's something we need to hang out with every day. The fact that we are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. How powerful that truth is. Dead to sin. And alive to God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. You know, the world is looking for answers. I was led to look up that word answer. And once I did that, it actually opened up my whole, you know, because we, you know, we're always looking for answers from God, an answer about this, an answer, what should I do, what did this, and why did this happen, and blah, 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 which way should I go? You know, answer, 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 answer. And then when I read this definition of what answer is, listen to this. As a noun, it says, a thing said, written, or done to deal with or as a reaction to a question, statement, or situation. Synonym for that is a reply, a response, a rejoinder, a reaction. As a verb, it is to say or write something to deal with, or as a reaction to something, someone, or something. Act in reaction to. They gave this sentence. David answered the doorbell. So what I began to realize after I read this definition, we're looking for answers, but we are all day long answering. We're responding. We're reacting to people. We're reacting to situations. So how do we live out this life Where is this answer? This answer is in Christ Jesus, living in Christ Jesus. That's where all your answers are to be found, because they are reactions and responses to things. But we do it in Him. We react, we respond in Him. Not outside of Him, but in Him. In Him. I'm going to stop, and I'll return next week to just talk a little bit more about where we are. Because we're not living out our faith. We continue to respond like the old man, which is a clear indication. It's a clear indication that we do not understand who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus, and who He is and what He's done for us. He's prepared a place for us. And He sent the Holy Spirit, who is going to, amen, guide us, because Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and He is the life. He is the life. He is the life. Not this life we want to make up and imagine and create, and then we want to slap God on top of that and believe God. But yet we're living in so much unbelief. The way we respond to what's happening in our country, the thoughts that we have, afraid that something can be taken from us, this life that we are enjoying, somehow they're going to pass laws that's going to restrict and bind us. All of that is of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Lord, I thank You. I thank You, Jesus. Your promise of sending the Spirit of Truth that will come and reveal all things to us. Thank You for coming, Holy Spirit. Thank You for residing on the inside of us. Not only are You on the inside, but You're moving across the earth. You're convicting us of righteousness. And You're convicting those who have not accepted redemption. You're convicting them of sin. I thank You. I thank You for what You're doing in this time, in this season. Thank You for loving us, Lord Jesus, that You came and You gave. We thank You for this redeeming love. A redeeming love. We thank You. We thank You that You are transforming us by Your precious Holy Spirit. You're transforming us. We're becoming more and more like You. I thank You that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I thank You that there is a rest that remains for the people of God, and that we must labor to enter into this rest, this place of truth, this place of promise, this place of identity, this place of peace, this place of joy, this place of righteousness. It's all found in You. So we seek first the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Knowing that all things, all other things shall be added. But we trust You enough to let go of all the other things that would be added. And we seek the kingdom of God and Your righteousness. Thank You. Thank you for blessing us with redemption, salvation. Blessing us with yourself. You gave yourself to us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for your spirit of liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. It's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. And thank you so much for joining me today on Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. Glory to God. I'm just excited about just being a child of God. And knowing that he is ordering our steps. Amen. He is faithful even when we're faithless. He's faithful. And he'll never leave us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Thank you. Thank you. You are a good father. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are, and I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. Amen, amen. So don't forget to join Reverend Ray, Pastor Ray Rose, on Friday Night Joy at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be blessed as you go through the day. Just take one thing that you've heard in this message that has, like, turned on a light in your consciousness. Just take that and dwell on it as you move through the day. And just celebrate. Just celebrate this truth. Amen. Glory to God. I love you. Praise God. I thank God for an opportunity to always commune with you and to communicate with you. We know that communication is more than just words. Glory to God. So I thank you. I thank you that we are one in the spirit. We are his body. We are his body in the earth. Amen. And I am honored to be connected to you. Glory to God. And I encourage you to go forth in the rest of your day with boldness and confidence before the Lord. Amen. This is the place that has been prepared before for you by your Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you.